everyone, and welcome back to the Icy Veins podcast. This is a show where we cover, well, what else? The news from the Blizzard games, all of the Blizzard games. And we are, of course, from the Icy Veins website, where you can find news and guides and spec guides and everything you need for Blizzard games, all of the Blizzard games of the whole world. Almost. My name is Patrick Beja, and today I'm very happy to be joined by three wonderful people who are going to be doing a much better job at talking about the games than I ever could. First, we have Stan, who is a Heroes expert and WoW connoisseur. I'm trying to use the English accent for that. How's it going, Stan?
It's going quite well. It's been a really busy week. We've got a lot of news, and yesterday's build was immense, so I'm at work constantly.
So basically, what you're saying is you're typing news right now as we're recording the show.
Seriously, I am.
Perfect. Well, excellent. You'll be able to give us the latest then. We're talking about WoW, of course, that has a lot of updates happening in the beta. We also have two Hearthstone experts. We have Lorinda, who's been on the show many, many times, and Aleko, who's been on the show a few times. How's it going, both of you?
Yeah, I'm going good here. This is Lorinda. Yeah, it's having a lot of fun, and there's lots of nerfs coming. That's going to be fun to talk about in a minute as well.
Ah, nerfs. We love the nerfs. How's it going, Aleko?
Yeah, it's going good for me as well. You know, nerf season's always a bunch of fun. We got the playoffs going on right now. So, yeah, good time to be a Hearthstone fan.
Excellent. We'll also have some Overwatch news, some StarCraft news, StarCraft 2 news. There are some balancing updates happening. And, well, there's pretty much stuff for every game, except Diablo. Meh. Well, one day. I mean, Blizzard announced they are going to be at Gamescom, and they didn't say anything about what's going to be happening at Gamescom, but maybe we can hope for some Diablo-related stuff? I don't think we'll get anything, but maybe.
We say this every time. It'll happen in the end.
Yeah, exactly. At some point, we're bound to be right? Let's start with Hearthstone. The nerfs for May were announced. They did talk about a few of them. Well, they did mention they were going to nerf a few cards a few weeks ago, but now they've detailed the nerfs. It seems like it's mostly increasing the cost by one for many of the cards. But so what can Hearthstone players expect from those upcoming nerfs, Lorinda?
Yeah, quickly going through, they basically increased the cost by one, as you said, for pretty much everything that they've nerfed, which is the Lackey and the Pact from Q-Block, Call to Arms, Quest Rogue, one other, which will come to me in a moment. Spiteful Summoner. And in Wild, they've completely and utterly wiped out Sea Witch, which I think Wild players will be delighted about.
So what does this change for the current meta, for the current decks? What does it impact, and which decks that people spent hours and tons of money building are going to be rendered completely ineffectual by those nerfs?
So the only two decks that will be ineffectual, again, we'll just very, very briefly get rid of Wild, Sea Witch. Blizzard seem to think the deck will be fine, but they've made it from 5 mana to 8. That's just an enormous change. I think people will find a way to not play that deck anymore. But the only one that's really ruined a deck is Call to Arms. Has gone from 4 to 5 mana, which means you can't play it in even cost decks anymore at all.
So wait a second. That's interesting. So Call to Arms, for those who don't remember, is a 4-mana paladin card that recruits 3 minions that cost 2 or less.
Right.
And that was being played in even decks?
Yeah, which is probably the best deck at the moment, I think people would agree. Aleko, would you agree with that?
I would agree, yeah. I use that pretty much exclusively for my climb. When I want to climb and I actually want to go up ranks, that's the deck I pick.
So making that into 5 has two effects, really. It can't be in the even deck. And also, if you put it in the odd deck, it'll only work with 1-drop minion, so you can't really put it in there effectively either. So people have to go back to playing normal decks if they want to play Paladin. Now, I mean, the card is still a very strong Hearthstone card, but they've sort of nerfed not just the card, but the synergy around it, which means that that's going to need a rethink if people want to put it in their decks.
And is that something that was needed? Was that deck... I mean, Aleko seems to be saying that it was dominating for people who wanted to win, basically.
Yeah, I mean, not only is it really powerful, but it wasn't particularly difficult to play. It was difficult to play well, but it was very forgiving, so a lot of people were doing very well with it.
I think it was a lot of people's pick as like the top card of all time when there's like this Twitter list where people were doing brackets to determine the top card, and it was very common to see Call to Arms as the best card ever. So seeing it get a one mana nerf is welcome, I think, by most of the Hearthstone community.
So wait a second, refresh my memory. I haven't been playing Hearthstone. Recruit puts the card on the board or in your hands?
On the board.
On the board.
And then you play things like Loot Hoarder, which is a 2-drop. You draw more cards when it dies. Plus you get like 6 attack on the board anyway. And the whole synergy is just completely amazing.
So it was basically 3 cards for 4 mana.
Yeah, on the board. And it was even more cards than that because you play Loot Hoarders, which have to be killed. And then you get their death rattle effect and draw more cards. And then you get stuff like Armani Berserker, which everyone will know. It's a basic card. It's a 2/3. That's just a really powerful minion, and so on. So the whole thing was just incredibly powerful. Mm. And like Aloko just said, like there was a vote by Ixar, one of the lead developers, who basically set up a bracket, and Call to Arms was doing really well in that bracket. I think it lost to Dr. Boom in the final. Is that correct?
It depends on. There's a lot of people did a lot of different grading.
Sure, I think his overall.
Yeah.
We get to be smug on this cast as well, because the last round of nerfs, we said, watch out, Call to Arms is next.
Yes, we knew it. We predicted it.
So, I think I said something along the lines of, you'll be sick of Call to Arms in 3 months' time. I think that's something. But the other nerfs are interesting because looking through them, I didn't have anything to say about them. Like, they were really boring, which is good, right? It hasn't destroyed any decks. So, again, I'll bring Alakon in a minute on that. But things like Quest Rogue, things like Spiteful decks, they're going to be worse, but they haven't killed the deck as a concept, which I think in the past they've gone, oh no, this deck is oppressive, let's kill it.
Right.
Well, that doesn't really, like you said at the start there, people have spent their hard-earned dust on these decks, and quite often the dust refund isn't necessarily satisfactory. If you built a Warlock deck and you made 10 legendaries and they nerf an epic, you know, it doesn't help you. So they made those decks still playable, but they're going to be a lot bigger power drop than I think some people are expecting.
All right. Well, cool. That seems like a good round of nerfs. We also have the HCT America that has a few decks, obviously, that can be interesting. What happens there?
Aleko, anything to catch your eye in that?
Yeah, I really liked a few of the lineups. I wrote a little analysis article about it. Two of them that I picked that really stood out to me, one of them was Dog's lineup. Mm-hmm. It was like a really cool control lineup, and Dog actually ended up qualifying at the end of the tournament. He went all the way through the 73-person bracket, I believe, and to make it out in the top 4. So that was a really, really cool lineup. And then the other one was the Frozen and Fibonacci lineup that was really, really interesting to me. That had like a Recruit Warrior in it. And Fibonacci, he made top 8 and very nearly qualified
top that 8 lineup. And he tweeted that he hadn't played any of the decks with 3 days to go. Three days before actually playing in the tournament where he came top 8 with his lineup. This is how good the lineup is and how good Fibonacci is. He hadn't played any of the decks.
So how, anything interesting in those decks, or are they standard?
No, practice? The Recruit Warrior in particular was, it's a warrior deck that does nothing for like 7 turns unless he gets Recruit on turn 6. He just plays a load of 8 drops, basically. They all interact with Whirlwind effects to make them better. Cards like, obviously, Grom and Wootface. Yeah, thank you.
So, how do you survive for seven rounds? Seven turns.
Lots of armor gain, like Ironhide, stuff like that in there. I mean, all the worst armor gain cards you can find in all of Hearthstone.
So and it's basically with your skill for Yip. Super frustrating to play against, I suppose.
Yeah, and very difficult to play. It looks really easy until you actually assemble it and start playing it. And every game you go, oh, if I should have done this in a different order, and I'd have been fine. And
I went 0-5 with it on the ladder when I tried it out myself.
I went 4-12.
All right.
Warrior did great on the whole tournament, actually, which is really cool, because last meta, Warrior was like kind of far and away the worst class. And then Warrior's win rate in this tournament was very high and keeps going up. And I think it's going to get even better after the nerfs. Because obviously, you know, you're going to nerf the best decks, then some of the worst ones are going to rise up. I think Warrior is going to be in a great spot going forward.
I agree with that. And also, the one to watch out for the next prediction for a nerf card, I think Shudderwalk Shaman may become really powerful now, which people won't be too pleased about.
Ooh. All right, predictions from Aleko again. We'll have to keep some kind of a tally of how well you're doing on those.
Yeah, we always do great. Unless we do badly, then we just don't mention it.
Yeah, we just forget about that. All right, cool. Well, thank you very much, both. We are going to move on to World of Warcraft, which, as we mentioned, has been having a lot of updates and a lot of things happening in the beta. There are two elements that I think were really interesting in the past few weeks, which I think you'll tell me, Stan, if there's anything else. But changes to the PvP system. We talked about war mode last episode. Now it's more of the ranking system that is seeing many, many changes. And we'll also be talking about a little bit about the Azerite traits, which are pretty interesting as well. Now they're getting into an interesting place. So the PvP system is being modified to fit a lot more the other PvP systems, or the ranking at least, of other Blizzard games. So what was happening until now was that PvP ranking was basically you had your MMR, which was a number between, you know, probably 500 and 2000, something like that. And that was your rank. And it was kind of granular, and there wasn't really a lot of story to be built around that. Whereas, of course, as we know in other PvP games, you have ranks which are very separate. You have the standard, you know, bronze, silver, gold, platinum, diamond, etc., etc. And they're going to be integrating this system in World of Warcraft. They're going to be using their own nomenclature, so it's going to be Challenger, Rival, Duelist, which honestly I'm not sure. I mean, yes, let's keep the mood of Blizzard of World of Warcraft intact, but it would be much easier if it was just bronze, silver, gold. But I understand why they do that. So that is going to be, I think, even more motivating, because you're a rival and you want to become a duelist, then you have this kind of step that you can get over and have achieved something. So I really like that. They're also going to have different rewards, items, schemes. So it's not going to be like a scale of eye level. It's going to be if you are at that rank, you have a chance for getting this quality of item, and it changes per rank. So it really means something when you achieve a different rank. So I kind of like this change. I think it makes sense, and it's more motivating for PvP. I don't know if any of you is a PvPer in WoW, or if Stan, what do you think about it?
Well, I think I've never been much into PvP, to be perfectly honest, but I think those are really good changes because it goes back all the way to vanilla WoW. I think there were titles like Knight and stuff like that you could earn, and they were removed later.
It was at the end of the season, you could get a reward, like a title, and it was, I mean, if you go back to the beginning of WoW, which is now, like, ancient, half of you listening were probably not even alive when WoW first launched. I'm kidding, but am I? Really? Am I? It was like, it was a weird system where you had to be, like, at the top by killing as many people as possible, so you had people actually either playing for 20 hours a day or even sharing accounts to keep racking up as many kills as possible and honor points. And that was a whole other problem within itself. But yeah, it did have titles. And here it will be a little bit of the same sentiment. So I think I like it. And especially, I mean, for people who play Hearthstone or Heroes or Overwatch, which basically covers all of us on this show, it's going to be much more relatable to get into PvP and think, oh, okay, I'm like the equivalent of silver, and I understand where I am, where I need to go, and stuff like that. So I like it. There's another thing with the PvP, and maybe Stan, you can explain it to me, because I'm not sure I understood exactly what it was. There's like a new talent slot for PvP talents, which is separate from the existing PvP talents. I'm not sure I understand exactly what that is. Is it specific to war mode, or do you understand what I'm talking about? It's like in the interface, yeah, of the talents interface.
It's basically specific to war mode. As soon as you turn on war mode, your experience gains will increase by 15%, and you will gain access to PvP talent. They are not locked or gate behind prestige levels any longer, so that's quite a good change. And you will be selecting from a pool of talents instead of a fixed row of threes.
All right, so they're changing the way PvP talents work, so you don't have like the exact same UI as you do in your regular talents anymore. You have like a list of talents for PvP, and you can choose like, what is it, 3 or 4 out of them, and that's for all PvP situations, including war mode. So it's a revamp of the PvP talent system.
You've got 5 slots, and the first slot is basically the same for every single class, but the 4 are more variable, so you can select any talent you want from a pool of talent. Each spec has different talents to choose, etc.
Okay, all right, I see. Interesting. And as you mentioned, there's a XP gain that's increased by 15%, which makes a lot of sense because you're going to be spending less time actually gaining XP and more time running back from your corpse, probably.
Yeah.
there's also, you can use your flying mounts once you finally can do that in the new continent or on the other continents. But they also added an item that can get you, that can dismount you and has a huge range. So that's kind of cool as well. And then the Azerite traits, which we mentioned a few weeks ago, and people were a little bit frustrated by the traits because they thought they were kind of boring. And now we've seen more of them, and I think we're getting to a place which is pretty interesting, honestly. We've seen a bunch of them, and I'm just going to mention a few, but my feeling, you can tell me if that's how you feel about it as well. They're a little bit like item bonuses traits,
yeah.
from Diablo, I was gonna say. You know, they like impact the way, some of them, not all of them and not as much, but they impact the way you play. Like, for example, one of them is a mage talent called Trailing Embers, which makes it so when you pyroblast, it burns enemies between you and the target. So that means you have to position yourself well to damage everyone in that line. That's one of the ones which I noted. There's one for Death Knights called Commander of the Risen Dead, which basically each rune you spend is going to reduce the cooldown of Army of the Dead by 5 seconds. So you're going to spec into Army of the Dead a lot more than you would if you didn't have that trait. Not all of them are as, you know, specific, but if that's the direction they're taking, I think it's going to be really interesting. What do you think, Stan? Is that, are you more enthusiastic?
They will definitely be cool. I really like these game-changing traits, but because up until now, they have all been a hybrid of generic, boring, netherlight crucible traits, you know, like increased damage of your ability by a percentage and haste by or primary secondary stat by another percentage. But these two that you mentioned specifically, I think they stood out, and I hope they continue adding similar traits.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, hopefully, I mean, I'm sure not all of them are going to be like this, but if that's the direction they're taking, the traits could be really interesting. So I hope they explore a little bit more of that. What else can we mention about WoW? Very good news for hunters. Unicorns are going to be tameable in Battle for Azeroth. So you're going to have hunters that are going to be able to troll you with their unicorns. That's going to be beautiful. Uther's Tomb, which is in the Plaguelands somewhere up there in the north, has been visually updated. And we're not quite sure yet why, but they have been remaking it. We don't know if it's just to remake it or if somehow Uther is going to have a role to play.
Uther also got a new model recently. I'm just data mining it, so I found it.
Oh, all right. Well, excellent. That might mean that Uther... Wait, is he going to be... resurrected? Ooh.
We didn't know.
And yeah, that's about anything else worth mentioning in the changes to the beta?
Yeah, I think so. We've covered most of the interesting facts so far, so we can move on to heroes.
Let's talk about heroes then. We have first, I am not a fan of wrestling at all. Like, I really don't care about wrestling whatsoever, but that Nexomania event looks like the best event anyone has ever done in any Blizzard game. I absolutely love this thing. For those who haven't seen the teaser, it's basically a full-on WrestleMania-style event with the, you know, luchador style with the Spanish announcer that you can actually get as an announcer. Is it Garrosh who has a chair that he hits people with instead of his axe? It's like they have masks. You have a chihuahua as a mount. It looks fantastic. It might motivate me to jump back into Heroes just for that, just to revel in the craziness of that event. I really like it. Anything that stood out to you, Stan? I know you're a big Heroes fan, so surely you're expecting this one with much anticipation.
Yeah, I personally like the event because some of the skins you get are really super cool. What stood out to me was especially the new Lunara skin, as well as the Sonya skin. So, and even the announcer is cool. I mean, it's the first time you can get an announcer by completing quests. So,
that's you can get really it by nice. Completing quests. Ooh,
there are quests that you complete from starting next week, and you'll have probably a month for that, I think, and you will receive a
Announcer.
Yeah, you will receive the announcer for free alongside various portraits and sprays. So it's cool.
That is, I think if I end up, I'm going to have to do that. I will do it. It's El Chapo, the announcer. El Guapo, I'm sorry. El Chapo is a horrible Mexican a drug dealer. I've been watching too much. What's the name of that Netflix series?
Narcos.
There you go. I've been watching too much Narcos. El Guapo, which means the pretty or the beautiful, right? Is my Spanish on point? I think so. So you get El Guapo, which is the announcer. And if you get that by quests, then I have to do it. It's been a while since I played Heroes, so that will be an opportunity to do that. So there's that. There's also some updates, really some reworks of Lunara and Diablo. Anything to mention there? Is there anything interesting in those reworks, Dan?
Yeah, so alongside the new skins, we're also getting hero reworks specific to Lunara and Diablo. So the goals for Lunara reworks are to make her Wisp ability more strategically potential, or basically help her Wisp become better. They're also adding new talents to it that makes it an interesting choice. Then there are various talents that reduce her cooldown for her Noxious Blossom, meaning she can now infiltrate or intoxicate more targets at the same time. And I think it's really nice quality of life changes to the hero.
Okay, and the Wisp. I don't know how much she uses her Wisp usually, but now she'll be able to use it more. So
yeah, basically after hiding in a bush for a while, her Wisp's vision range will grow larger.
Oh,
And old talents have been replaced by a new talent called Sentinel Wisp, and the talent will increase the bonuses granted after her Wisp has hidden, allowing it to see over obstacles and even spot stealth enemies.
All right.
So that's cool.
So that's Lunara. What about Diablo?
Well, as for Diablo, he had even reworks to his basic abilities. The first thing that stood out is the change to Fire Stomp. It is now a cone-shaped skill shot. So it won't be like it was around Diablo before the rework, but now it's a cone-shaped shot.
Oh, so now it's like directional?
Yeah. Yeah. And Diablo will also heal for a percentage of the damage dealt to enemy heroes, so making it... He had nerfs to his damage output, but he has more survivability right now. So he feels more tanky.
All right. So more utilitarian Lunara and more tanky Diablo.
Change that's really important to note is that Shadow Charge, his Q, finally got pathing indicators. So you will see where you will end up with your enemy.
All right. It feels like this is one of the earliest heroes that was in the game, and it needed a little bit of rework because the game has evolved. So, all right. And then about the next hero. So that's not confirmed, but there was a bunch of little indicators in the teasers for the I think it was for Nexomania. which...
It was HGC, actually.
Oh, sorry. And so it means that it might be Sombra that comes next. There's been some like hacking things happening. Is that like, is it confirmed or is it still kind of a guessing, or is it pretty sure that Sombra is going
to
be next?
It's still guessing on our part, but I think we're pretty safe to say because Overwatch second anniversary is approaching. And I think they are going to do the same thing as with Phoenix. You know, we've got a cross-game promotion and stuff like that. And with the short AGC snippet, you could see flashing light that looks like someone was trying to hack the stream. And it was something similar we saw when Sombra was announced. So I'm pretty confident we're going to see her as the next hero.
Right. Well, and that provides me with a perfect opportunity to segue into Overwatch, because as you mentioned, the second anniversary event is coming up pretty soon. So yeah, it would make sense to have some kind of synergy between this and Heroes in some fashion. I don't want to say we're going to get Sombra for free. That would be a little bit too much, but her showing up in the Nexus would make sense. And by the way, I did want to mention... the Nexomania thing is really funny because they spent like 3 weeks talking to us about the lore that they're infusing the Nexus with, and like now there's going to be story and it's going to be interesting. And you see the Nexomania thing and you're like, all right, okay, like it's still completely silly. It makes no sense. It's just dumb fun. And I'm glad they're not letting go of that.
Exactly.
That was kind of funny. Right. So let's talk about Overwatch. So, Overwatch is getting into its second anniversary already. Kaplan did a video where he announces 40 million players. So they say 40 million players. It's probably 40 million accounts created. It doesn't mean everyone is still playing on a regular basis, but still 40 million is nothing to scoff at. And we're going to get a really cool event, I think, for all of this. First, we get a new deathmatch map with a competitive season. The new deathmatch map is Petra. We don't have too much detail, but it's coming up fairly soon. The event starts next week, by the way, so it's coming up fairly soon. But the most interesting thing about the event is that it's really, they shipped it into a celebration of the whole history of the game, and that means you're going to get loot boxes that include every potential item from every event. And all of the items, all the skins, all the emotes, everything is going to be unlocked. So you can go, if you have, like me, like 15,000 credits, you can go and buy a bunch of stuff that you missed when the events first showed up. So that's pretty cool. And even in the loot boxes, you can get anything from any event. So everything's unlocked. I really like that philosophy. They're also going to be bringing back some of the old brawls from the entire history of the game, and they're going to be changing daily. So every day you're going to have a different brawl. It might be Junkenstein's Revenge, it might be the Uprising event, etc., etc. So I really like that as well. But yeah, I'm going to go and buy some skins with all of the excess credit I have been collecting for no reason, except I knew that one day I would have a reason, and that day is, well, not today. I was going to say that day is today, but that day is in 1 week, and then I will be buying stuff. Really like that that event. Anyone else planning on jumping in and buying a bunch of skins?
Oh yeah, this update is really huge for me. It felt like Jeff Kaplan was speaking directly to me too when he was talking about a lot of stuff, because I'm a really big fan of the deathmatch mode in Overwatch. That's by far the most played arcade mode for me. Like, even dating back to my, like, you know, younger days when I was like 12, 13 playing Call of Duty, I would play exclusively deathmatch mode. I don't need any teammates. So to hear that there's a competitive deathmatch season coming up and a new deathmatch map, that's really great, because that's one of the, I think, weaknesses of the deathmatch mode was perhaps the maps. I'm not really a big fan of Chateau Guillard in particular, because it's very, very hard to play Widowmaker on it, and she's one of the more fun deathmatch characters. And something they mentioned specifically was that there's going to be some long sight lines that you can play longer range characters on in the new map. So I'll be really excited to see how that one pans out. And then, yeah, I never got the opportunity to get a couple of very, very important skins, namely the Pirate Anna skin, and then the Mercy skin, where she looks like an Olympian. So I'm definitely going to We're going to fill those holes up.
The victory goddess, Nike, yeah. The Nike one. Yeah, I won that one as well. I wonder if they're going to be, you know, the full price, the 3,000 credits, or if it's going to be one. Yeah. I'm guessing it's going to be 1,000, right? It has to be the special price, the 1,000
credits. Yeah, typically the 3,000 credits are just for the newer skins, and they said it's going to be 7 new legendary skins. Is that right?
So, yeah, you're right. There's also new legendary skins.
I imagine the new ones, including there's like a Dapper Junkrat, I know has been announced, right?
Oh, is it Junkrat? Oh, I thought it was going to be a Dapper Doomfist, you know, because he has in one of the comics, he's in Tuxedo. Maybe we're going to get... I think it's Doomfist because we did get a preview of the new Junkrat skin, and I'm pretty sure it's
right.
Yeah. So
I think you're right. That's good to get some new Doomfist skins because I think we're kind of just working with the defaults.
Yeah, and I think we're going to get some dance emotes for Doomfist and Moira and Brigitte. So we're going to get a bunch of them. I'm always looking forward to events in Overwatch. But this one, you know, it's funny because they managed to create some kind of a fun thing for the community. Like, it's really a celebration of what the game has been so far. And so, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Let's put it this way. If you log into one Overwatch event all year, it should be this one.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, you get a loot box where you get at one legendary item that you don't have already. So that's pretty cool. What else? Yes, they have released the Rialto map with the Hanzo rework. The Rialto map is an escort map. Pretty cool. I've played it a few times. It's got some interesting little locations. And Hanzo is pretty interesting as well. He's already getting a little bit of a nerf, though. So his new ability, the what's it called? Thunderbow? Stormbow?
Storm Arrow?
Storm arrows, something, is getting a little bit nerfed. It's going to do 70 damage per arrow instead of 80, which means he's not going to be able to two-shot the 150 characters, or when he's boosted, not able to one-shot the same characters. So that's actually probably a little bit needed because he was a little bit frustrated. But
quite strong.
Yeah. But the guide has been updated on Icy Veins. So if you want to check out how to play Hanzo, you can go check out the guide on Icy Veins, as always, as for all of the characters. What else? There's PTR changes with the more Brigitte nerfs. That was to be expected as well. And there still is actually a pink skin Mercy, or pink Mercy skin rather, that looks really cool and supports breast cancer research. So that is, it's a little bit expensive. It's $15. But it is everything, all the money goes to breast cancer research. So if you feel generous and you want a cool skin, then maybe consider going to get it. I myself launched the game, checked it out, and I was like, let's see how the process worked to actually get it. I pressed buy and there was, okay, so you can enter your details here. And I was like, I don't really want the skin, but what the hell, it's for a good cause. And so
there's also the t-shirt as well available, Mercy t-shirt, which will be shipped in the third quarter, but you can only get it till the end of May. That's also breast cancer research.
I didn't realize
stuff that's available on the battle.net shop, but I think that's $30 plus shipping. But again, they've got them in sort of male and female versions, and that looks pretty good as well.
Nice. I might go check it out. The problem is the Blizzard store is now only based in the US. So yes, when you order something, you pay like as much for
shipping. That's why I mentioned plus shipping.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, well, I'll have to make do with the skin. Aleko, were you a force for good? Have you bought the Mercy skin, or were you a cheap, I'm looking for insults that aren't too insulting, and you didn't get it?
It took me about 10 seconds to decide to buy it. I was actually playing Overwatch, and then it said there was an update, so I relaunched the game. And then I was like, yeah, I want this.
Okay. Cool.
I'm a huge fan of the color pink. I just thought the skin itself was really cool, and to have a pink Mercy would be awesome. And then, of course, supporting, you know, breast cancer research is also a very important cause. I'm actually surprised at how many people have it. You rarely see a Mercy in competitive mode that is not using the skin. Something that's worth noting is that it reworks a lot of like particle effects There's a lot of different audio effects too that trigger with the skin. Things look different and feel different with this skin that don't really apply to other ones. Like all the audio and cues and a lot of the particle effects stay the same for most skins, but for this one, it's like a very total, you know, kind of top to bottom rework of a lot of effects. So that's really, really cool.
Yeah, and they'll be announcing the amounts that they are have collected with it very soon. So we'll be talking about that probably in the next episode. And finally, we can talk about StarCraft II, because guess what? The game is still being updated, and there's a balancing patch being released. When is it? Is it out already or fairly soon? Or I can't remember, but it's in the works. And yeah, so Aleko, what is, so for the few, I'm sure there are StarCraft players that listen to this show, right? Certainly. What's happening there with the updates for StarCraft?
So they're making some changes to Terran, focusing on the TVP matchup. So I think what they wanted to do was make it a little easier for
Terran. So Terran versus Protoss, for those who don't know the lingo.
Yes, TVP and Z, Terran, Protoss, and Zerg. So it seemed like the mid game was a little difficult for Terrans, particularly I think blink aggression from Protoss has been pretty strong lately. But if I'm being perfectly honest, I haven't played more than a few dozen ladder games in the past month or so. So I'm not an expert at the TVP matchup, though I am a Protoss player. So there's quite a few changes that are actually rolling out as a result of this. They're making them more effective in the mid game, and maybe making them slightly, I think, less effective in the late game to try to compensate for that.
All right.
Do you want to get into some specifics as to the changes? Or?
Sure, go ahead. I mean, we have so few opportunities to talk about StarCraft. I'm always happy to give it its due and a little bit of time.
Sweet. So one of the biggest one is that when they're reverting a change that they had made, they're reducing them for Marauders. They're reducing the number of attacks that the Marauder has, and then increasing the damage kind of to compensate for that. So that should make them a more effective, particularly against Colossi, they said. Colossuses are a splash damage unit that are really good at mowing down Terrans, and they'd kind of fallen out of favor for a while, but are now becoming more popular. So they're making this change to be a little more effective against the Colossi. They're changing also the Ravens a bit, making a few adjustments to the damage that it's doing, as well as the range on the auto turrets. And then they're also increasing the health on the Vikings as a that's also for the sort of a late game change.
All right.
So quite a few things across the board that should be affecting both PVT and TVP, because we're talking about the Terran side of things, and TVZ as well.
You know, I'm always fascinated that the game still has so much active players and an evolving meta. When you were saying, you know, oh, the Colossi had fallen out of favor for a little bit, and now they're back and they're getting back into the meta. It's like, all right, well, I guess the game is evolving. It's pretty amazing that it seems like it would be. Because we're not playing it and talking about it, it feels like not many people are playing it, but it has a life. It's still very active, so.
Oh, yes. Well, yeah. I kind of view StarCraft as like Go. Like, you know, it's an incredibly complicated and deep game that just, you know, goes and goes and goes on forever. Of course, most games are like that, but StarCraft in particular is like the hardest game, the most challenging one. That's what drew me to it at first, that it's this the rabbit hole you can dive into with StarCraft as far as the strategy and skill goes. It's just so deep. So it's certainly a game that requires some investment to try to ramp up to, but the reward is very, very much there. There's the feeling that you get from, you know, putting together these advanced strategies in StarCraft is really unrivaled. So I'm glad to see that they're still giving some love to it.
I think you kind of nailed it here. It's really about the investment that is a lot more time-consuming for StarCraft than any of the other games. Now you just start playing, even a game like Heroes, that it takes a lot of time to master it, you still get more fun immediately than you do in StarCraft. StarCraft, you have, like, every game is pretty long, even if they've shortened it a little bit, but mastering the whole thing it takes time. It's a long investment, whereas the games that we play now a little bit more are more instant rewards. So I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. It's just different. But that might be also why people are less gravitating towards StarCraft. So I'd be curious to see if someone can design an RTS that gives a little bit more of that, that evolving story throughout one match, where you have more, like, because the early game, mid game, and late game are, a lot of it is a little bit more passive, I would say. And I'm sure some StarCraft players are going to yell at me for this, but I guess hopefully people understand what I mean. But I would be curious to see an RTS game that gives that constant engagement and reward, if that's possible to craft, but I don't know. And that is pretty much the end of our episode. We did plan on touching a little bit on the Activision Blizzard earning call, but you know what? They're making money. Everything's fine. They're really happy because they're making lots of money. So good job on the big company. So maybe what we can do instead is leave you with this. Wait. Isn't this amazing? Okay, the quality of this sound is not great because I'm using this from my phone. But if that doesn't make you want to play Heroes... I love it.
What?
Lunara! Okay, let's play. Let's pause it. Stop! Shush! All right. Go check out that trailer. It is amazing, and you will want El Guapo as your announcer as well. And that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for being with us. Why don't you guys tell us where we can find your wonderful productions once the listeners have finished listening to the episode and they want more? They will think to themselves, if only I could get just a little bit more of Lorinda, my life would be perfect. Tell them, Lorinda.
It would indeed. Follow me at Lorinda Games on Twitter or check out the guides on Icy Veins. There'll be lots more coming up after the nerfs.
Excellent. Aleko, what about you?
You can find most of the content that I create right on the news section on Icy Veins. And on Twitter, I'm at Aleko_P. So that's where you can find all my hot takes on the latest nerfs and why I think Sunkeeper Terran should have been included.
Perfect. Stan, what about you?
So you can find me on the Icy Veins website and follow me on Twitter at HeroesPawn.
The links will be in the show notes, of course, for the Twitter accounts, including mine, which is NotPatrick on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. NotPatrick everywhere. You can also find my show Pixels on your podcast listening app. I'm sure it's easy to find. You just go to the search box and search for Pixels. And I would recommend you subscribe now because the E3 is coming up. And E3 is going to have a lot of news not Blizzard related. And we're going to be covering it all. It's going to be super fun. It's always like the E3 is basically the Nexomania of the rest of the gaming world. It's a giant fiesta for everyone who enjoys gaming. So you should definitely get information on that. And a great way to do that is to listen to Pixels. And yes, of course, don't forget to check out Icy Veins for the productions of all of these fine people who joined me on the show today and much, much more. You have news, guides, spec guides, talent builds, everything you need for all Blizzard games. Hope you enjoy the show. Hope you enjoy the site. And we will talk to you again in about a couple of weeks. Talk to you then. Bye.
Farewell.
See you. Bye.